The most dramatic podcast yet.
Well, hello. Welcome to the most dramatic podcast yet. I am your host, Paul Constable, normally joined by Crystal Bartelsi, but she is still in Europe living a bachelorette lifestyle of her own with her lovely husband, David. So if you suffered through that first episode, my monologue continues as we talk about episode 2, and we're hoping to get Crystal back for episode 3 so we can talk about it together, but that might not be for a while. I don't think she gets back till later this month, so you might have a two-week break, but I'd rather do this with her than for you to have to listen to me monologue. And monologue I shall as we get into episode 2 of The Bachelorette. Charity's season. In the teaser, there's going to be some semi-naked dodgeball. They're going to talk about spring break. Tension is already starting in the second episode with the 19 remaining men. I'm just happy when I see Caleb B. I have a bit of an obsession with him. He's the Billy Ray Cyrus looking man. He's a pro wrestler from Tampa, where I just was last month. Shout out to the Starbucks there. Thank you for getting my order right. Anyways, I'm just kind of obsessed with him, and he does figure prominently in this episode. Aaron B comes out. He's the guy who had the lucky coin, and I kind of figured this was the thing last week. And this is where I go into a tangent about Two-Face from Batman. So if you have got the 15-second advance on your little Spotify app, go ahead, smash that thing a couple of times. But Two-Face had a two-sided coin when he was the I can't believe I'm talking about this. Oh, man, Crystal, we need you back. He had a two-sided coin, and he would flip it, and he would call it his lucky coin because both sides of the coin were heads, so he'd always call it heads. But then, of course, there's a horrible explosion. He loses half his face. One of the sides gets scarred, so he flips it. And if it's the good side, he does the good thing. And if it's the bad side, he does the bad thing. Anyways, this is Aaron B. talking about his lucky coin. And it seems to work for him because he gets to go on the first one-on-one date with Charity. They get in a lovely Mustang convertible. The other men seem very impressed by this. And Joey feels bad about watching them drive off. He's like, I just felt so bad seeing them go off with my girl. And I'm like, it's been one night. Like, it's no one's girl right now. The discussion between Aaron and Charity, they both grew up in military families, which I thought was interesting. They said, you know, 6 a.m. on a Saturday, you were up, you were, you know, working around the house, you were doing chores. Sounds like fun. But they bond over this, and they drive through the Hollywood Hills to look at the classic Hollywood sign, which apparently is 100 years old. And so this is symbolic because both of their parents have been together for a very long time. I think Charity even said her parents have been together for 48 years. They have a lovely first kiss. And, you know, it actually wasn't that bad of a date up to this point. Aaron even reveals that it is a double-sided coin, which made me think he could be a future Two-Face potential in this new Robert Pattinson Batman franchise. He seems like a nice guy. Although he's one of those guys that almost might be too nice for this show. There's no real drama about this guy. I think they tried to tease it even at dinner, where he talked about in his past relationship in college, he wasn't a great boyfriend. Maybe he didn't listen enough. It sounded like he might've had some jealousy issues, but in all honesty, I think you're going to find a lot of men and women that age who aren't, you know, open in their college years. Everyone's just figuring relationships out. It didn't seem that unique, that's his story. And you need a story. When you go for dinner on a one-on-one date, you need some kind of story. And so we then go back home and we find out that the next date is going to be a group date. And the key line in this is sun's out, buns out, which I've never heard before. I thought it was guns, but, you know, why not? Braden, if I didn't like Braden after episode 1, episode 2 gets multiplied to a higher level of dislike for him. It's just a lot of aggressive, I'm going to beat you guys at dodgeball, like y'all going down. Just kind of like a street talk from a guy who looks like the only street he grew up on probably had fences and trees. But that's fine. So they're all excited about this dodgeball game. To go back to the other date, the other date actually ended quite nicely with I think it was Aaron, who they went to an old movie theater, and then a country lady came out named Lauren Elena, which sounds like a name I would make up if I was writing a story. You'd be like, Lauren, and I need a last name that doesn't sound real but almost sounds Elena. She sings a lovely country song, which is, you probably, people are going to play at their weddings, and it's beautiful. And then when they break up, they'll never want to hear that song on the radio again because it just tears their heart apart. But it was lovely. So they had a lovely night, lovely date. But I don't think Aaron's going to go far. I feel like he's going to make it to like final eight, and that will be a tearful goodbye because he's a good dude. So the dodgeball game. The men find out they're just wearing Speedo-type bottoms. And this was a much welcome flashback for me, which was Claire's season. I always had a, still probably do have a very deep crush on Claire, even though I think Claire had her own issues. And this man named Yosef, who flipped out when they had to do dodgeball, and he thought it was really inappropriate that they had to show their butts on camera, and he had a daughter. And what would she think of him? I mean, what would your daughter think of you being on that show in the first place? But he didn't last long. So the dodgeball game, for some reason, I took a lot of notes in the dodgeball game. Like I can do play-by-play. Xavier gets out two guys at once. Caleb B is the last man standing in the first game. Caleb B brings it the next game. He's the last man standing, but he brings in the win. I don't know why I wrote so many notes about this dodgeball game. The long story of this is that Adrian has this great move where he gets three people out with one ball. It hits one guy, bounces off another guy, hits the other guy. And if the ball hits you at any point without touching the ground, you are out. Xavier catches the final ball and wins the game for the pink team. The only thing I tracked here is that he's a biomedical scientist. There's a lot of interesting occupations this season, which I've been enjoying. I'm not sure what a biome... can you give me a second here, people at home? I do type fast. Biomedical scientist. Let's see what this is all about. How to become one. What does a biomedical... They conduct laboratory and scientific tests to support the diagnosis and treatment of disease. That's pretty cool. You know what? That's like... I'm not going to lie to you. That's a pretty impressive job. Back to the volleyball game. Adrian from the green team, he joins the pink team because they win the whole thing and they get to go on a group date now. Caleb B, my boy Caleb, who had the Jesus, the quote 3:15 on his chest, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." I had to Google that, but it was 3:15. He is not happy. He thought he played quite well, and he did, according to the way they edited together the game. I'm spending way too much time in this volleyball game. So Braden is a bit upset that Adrian has won this MVP and gets to join this group. He feels like he has a really strong connection with Charity. Because he got the first impression rose, and he says it was like the movie Avatar where they connect their hair braids, and that's how what he felt like. That's a reference I probably wouldn't use in my own life about romance, but you know, I guess this gives us a deeper dive into Braden. She then pulls men aside. The one that stands out for her, I'll just jump to the end, but come back, is this guy named John, who said he was a former professional basketball player. I Googled him. It was in the NBA. But there's professional basketball all over the world. This is not to put down his achievements. I just was curious because I was like, what team? But I couldn't find it. Braden and Adrian have – this is where their kind of little tete-a-tete starts. He says he thinks Caleb should have been MVP, which made me think of Kanye calling out Taylor Swift for some reason. And Braden does that thing where he says, "I'm not trying to throw shade on you, bro. A lot of bro and a lot of, you know what I'm saying? A lot of that in this episode. If there was a drinking game, you'd be drunk by 8:32, if that was your, those were the two phrases. He says he's not trying to throw shade, which I love when people basically throw shade. You know, you kind of sucked in that game. I'm not trying to tell you anything negative, but you sucked. Adrian sits down with Charity, and this is where he says to her, I feel like some of the men here think this is spring break. And he's got a daughter back home, and he's very serious about this, and he's treating this relationship show as seriously as he can, which feels to me like you're about to play Twister, and you're like, look, I don't just play Twister, I play serious Twister. Like, to take The Bachelorette seriously is sort of an oxymoron, although they want you to believe it. Does that make sense? They want you to believe this show is about true romance and true love. I'm going to send this immediately to my therapist after and just have him dissect how my brain actually works. So Charity says, goes right back to the group and says, I don't want people to treat this like spring break. She gives the rose to this basketball player, John. And then she kind of leaves. This Braden then says, I don't think that statement was meant for me. You know what I'm saying? And that, he doesn't need to say, you know what I'm saying. That was a pretty clear statement. I don't think the statement was meant for me. That I understand it. If he said something like, yo, man, closet wasn't full, I'd be like, what? Now I don't know what you're saying. Anyways, that's my thoughts on him. Braden and Adrian continue to go back and forth. There's really not many sides to cheer for here. I guess I would take Adrian's side, but he also has that kind of, I'm 33, so I know everything, which to me seems so funny because he's 17 years younger than I am. And I'm like, dude, you have a lot more to learn. Know what I'm saying? Fast forward to the next group date, Gabby and Rachel show up. And Gabby, who, if you are a listener of this show, you know that I have a massive crush on Gabby. And maybe this is a weird thing to say, but I was sort of sad that she went blonde. She still looks fantastic, but I feel like her brunette, you know, darker hair made her more unique. Now she just kind of looks like another blonde, and I like blondes. God knows I love my blondes, but it was nice to see them come back, and they're going to do a group date now in front of a big crowd. And the way they want to do this group date is they're going to try and break the longest kiss record of Bachelorette history. So the longest kiss in Bachelorette history was something like 3 minutes and 20 seconds or something like that, which seems funny coming from, we don't want this to be like spring break. And then they do a kissing contest in front of a couple of dozen strangers, all of them women, all of them wearing jeans. I don't know why I noticed that, but I always am like, we don't need to talk about it. I'm just trying to say, I always think it's hot wherever they go. And so when I see people in jeans and jackets, I'm like, I guess it's not as hot as I thought it was. I'm so sorry. My therapist, just please send me an email explaining to me what the heck's going on. Weird Spencer was part of this group. If you remember Spencer from the last episode, he was very prominent. He was hardly in it in this episode at all. And yet he got about 5 seconds. And in that 5 seconds said something so completely awkward that I was like, we don't need any more Spencer. Just a strange man. John Henry, who's on this date, and I'll call him John Henry because there is another John, and he goes by John Henry. He's an underwater welder. So another cool sounding job. But my only question is, does he only weld underwater? Like, is he not capable of welding on land? Or if he's on land, is he like, bring in the tank? I can do this, but I need to be surrounded by water. I don't know. The men get up and they tell, first of all, there's like this trivia thing. How would you kiss Charity? Where would you have your hands? What's the best kiss you've ever had? I don't remember a lot of it. But then they came forward and they had to talk about their best or worst kiss. And Joey's speech, tennis pro Joey, and I'm calling it right now, future bachelor, I think, leading man Joey. But we'll see. Talks about how his best kiss is the one that's about to come up, where he breaks the record with Charity for the Bachelorette longest kiss. He wins. They go for it in front of a crowd that's screaming and cheering them on for 4 minutes and 25 seconds, which is about the same length as my tangent about Two-Face. Maybe we could do a longest tangent award on this show, or punishment. But the other men have to stand there and watch this man kiss the woman that they're trying to win over. That'd be a long 4 minutes, 25 seconds, much like my tangents. Joey then wins a one-on-one date that night. And it just, you know what, the whole thing kind of felt like Charity knew it was going to be Joey. I think the producers knew it was going to be Joey. And it was Joey. But that's okay. We go back to the house, which Crystal and I will someday rent and do our own private podcast about how amazing the Bachelor, Bachelorette house is. And Braden gets very upset when one guy says, yeah, the date was okay, but we had to watch, you know, Charity kiss another guy. And Braden's like, you can't say the date is good. You know what I'm saying? You can't say that date is good. You know what I'm saying? Because you saw him kiss another guy. You know what I'm saying? I might be not saying you know what I'm saying as much as he did. This really upsets Braden, and he feels like, I'm gonna pack my bags. Like, I thought I was serious about this, but she's kissing another guy for that long? Is this some kind of, like, game show on television? He doesn't say that, but it seems weird that he was surprised that this would... He just thought he could go in, get the first impression rose. She doesn't kiss anyone else. They meet on the beach in, like, 8 weeks. I don't know what he was thinking. I never know really. Well, we do know what Braden's thinking because he's very vocal and says, you know what I'm saying, a lot. The Joey date. Now, after this, they go for dinner and they start talking about family. And they talk about family so much this season. It's like watching Vin Diesel in The Fast and Furious. Am I right? Thank you. Hopefully that becomes a... Are there sound memes? That might be a sound meme that we'll play. Joey grew up in a home where... And this was surprising. Both his parents divorced when he was quite young in kindergarten. And the reason was because his dad came out. Which was not a story I was expecting to hear. And I found this story very touching. And he talked about how his parents, even though they didn't stay together, they remained friends. And there was a lot of love between the two of them. Like friendship love. And they were able to raise Joey. And Joey says, you know, his dad is his favorite person. And I just think these kind of things are so important in life these days, especially with what's happening. There's a lot of fighting from the side of the right to spread fear about LGBTQ people, which always kind of makes me crazy. So this was nice that they continue to have stories like this on television and just be like, hey, you can still be a gay dad and still raise a great son. And there's nothing weird about it. So I actually liked Joey after this. I thought he was going to be, I even called him out last week saying he's going to be a tennis boy frat. I was going to call him tennis pro frat boy. But he seems a bit more grounded, especially in comparison to Braden. And he gets a rose at the end of the night, which I always think would be, you know, and if the other guy, Aaron, didn't get the rose because he was like, I wasn't a great guy in college, you're like, okay. But if you come out and say, my dad, you know, is a homosexual and that's why my parents divorced, and then you don't get the rose, that feels cruel. So we go back to Braden, who's still complaining about this kissing thing that he didn't even witness. And he says, I need to have a serious talk with Charity about this. Jesse comes in with some good news, bad news. The good news is that there is going to be a barbecue. But the bad news is there's no cocktail party. And I just thought, I just had this moment where I'm envisioning the producer's room. And someone's like, hey guys, let's change things up. Let's, instead of a cocktail party, let's just have a barbecue where the guys can get to know her. And they're like, yeah, okay. And probably no one was paying attention. And then they were like, wait a minute, are we really doing that? Isn't the show all about cocktail parties? Like, isn't that, I don't know why they canceled the cocktail party. There must be a backstory to this. Maybe, I don't understand it. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But they had this barbecue instead. Maybe they just wanted to see the men in sunshine. I don't know. Doughton, I think I mispronounced his name last week. I think I called him Doughton, but it's Doughton. Pulls Charity aside at this barbecue, and they have a nice moment together where he shows you his resident alien card because he moved to the country as a four-year-old boy, and he's very proud of it. He seems very smooth, very charming, and he's still very tall. Another man named Tanner shows up. I'm like, I've never seen this guy before in my life. But he's around. Sean, who I called Weird Chin. I don't think his chin is weird. I think it's more of his cheeks. It's more weird cheeks. He's still a very handsome man. He looks like he could have been in Wham or Miami Vice because he wore this like white blazer jacket with no shirt underneath and a swimsuit. A look I could not pull off ever. We then cut to Braden in a triangle of men that I have talked about a lot. Braden, Caleb B, my fave, and Spencer, my least fave, I think next to Braden. And Braden's getting real now, saying like, love is selfish and that's okay. Something along those lines. And he has to explain to us in the camera interview that he's very deep. And usually when people have to tell you they're deep, it's like when they have to tell you, I'm really funny or I'm really smart. It's usually the opposite. I will tell you that I'm as deep as I am smart. I don't know what that means. Braden sits down with Charity. This is the big moment where he's like, I'm going to call her out on her stuff. And if I don't hear the answers I want to hear, bro, I'm leaving. You know what I'm saying? And he kind of just says he wanted to run away when he heard about the longest kiss. And he goes, but I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, I mean, I just felt like it got in my head, right? And like all this stuff. And I didn't really know what the heck he was trying to say. Ironically, I didn't know what he was saying. And she says, wow, he was so honest and vulnerable. And I was like, just being a douchebag isn't being honest and vulnerable. It's just douchebag. They don't go together. I guess being an honest douchebag, it still seems like a minus. So then Adrian jumps up and apologizes for bringing up the spring break comment earlier, hopes it doesn't bring drama to the situation. And all seems kind of fine and good until Adrian throws Braden under the bus and says that he called Charity classless after hearing about the longest kiss. Charity didn't really appreciate this, and just the barbecue gets canceled and the men kind of figure out who was the last guy talking to her and why did she leave? It was Adrian. And Adrian, I guess to his credit, is honest and says, yeah, I said these things and that's probably why she's gone. I still think it's strange that we know the show does this because they need drama, but for Charity to then cancel the whole barbecue and just leave, to me, still doesn't show a sign of maturity on her part. She's like, someone says something bad about me, I'm out of here. Well, there's 19 men there, and they're someone is probably, I don't know, going to say something a little bit offensive. And you keep Braden around and you talk a big game about him, how he's all like sensitive and stuff. These will be discussions, I'm sure, that Crystal and I will have. Dotton gets the first rose, and then this mystery man named Tanner gets another rose. And then my happiest moment, Caleb B gets a third rose. So Paul C is happy. I spent a lot of time on that. It keeps going back and forth. Men get roses, and it's of course going to be, is Adrian going to be kicked off? Is Braden going to be kicked off? Are they both going to get kicked off? Well, we kind of know what's going to happen. Adrian gets the second last rose. Braden gets the final rose, and guys that we kind of don't even know, get booted off. There was one guy they flashed to. I swear I'd never even seen him before. Maybe he was that bartender from last week that I was talking about. A Clark Kent looking guy who had like a nice bow tie. He gets booted off. A guy named Josh, who I think he was the first one she met. I didn't mind him, but he heads home. And then Spencer gets kicked off. And I'm guessing he's somewhere right now just being awkward to people in his, circle of friends. We have to end kind of on Braden, who's all very cocky now that he got the final rose, and says, he went from, I've got my bags packed, bro, like I'm out of here. And now he's saying, man, oh man, we clicked tonight. Cause did you notice this? We were wearing similar colored clothes. That means we're in sync. That means something. It doesn't, I don't really know. It probably just means that the, fashion people at Bachelorette were like, wear that. So that's this week's episode. Next week we have the promise of Caleb B singing. So he's taking my, I didn't realize he was going to sing, but he's taking my Billy Ray Cyrus coincidental looks to a whole new level. And more heated men fights, with Braden continuing to unimpress. So that's next week, where hopefully Crystal and I We'll be discussing these things as a power duo podcasting team. Thank you, everyone, for sticking with me through the longest Paul Constable monologue this side of the border. We will get Crystal back next week. We will have some fun. We will have some laughs. And you know what? We might even learn something along the way. Peace out.